Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm the lead pastor here at South Granville Church in snowy Granville, Michigan. With me, as always, my friend and co-host, Ben Netz.
Hello, hello.
And today, at long last, we have a special guest, Mr. Gary Pipping.
Well, good afternoon. It's a privilege and an honor to be here.
Gary, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how long you've been around South Granville?
Yeah, okay. So, I have been a Christian my entire life. I was blessed to have been born into a Christian family. We've been members here at South Granville Church for about the past 40 years or so. I know it sounds like a long time. And as of right now, my mom is a member of our church here. And Sue, my wife, and I, of course, along with my daughter and her family. So there's actually four generations of Pipping that belong to South Granville right now.
Very cool.
That is cool. I will not tell you what I was doing 40 years ago because I was not alive.
So, Gary, what's some things that you like to do for fun?
Oh, for fun. Running is a big part of my life. I do like running marathons. I like the physical and the mental challenge of that. Over the course of my working career, I got to travel a lot, so I do enjoy travel. Sue also has a travel bug now, and we enjoy traveling, and we spend a lot of time with our kids and our grandkids, and we love our family dearly.
Gary, what's the weirdest thing you ate while you were traveling?
The weirdest thing, perhaps, one thing jumps out in my mind, and that is, I believe it was someplace in China where a delicacy is chicken's feet. And chicken's feet is really as bad as it sounds. You kind of put the thing in your mouth, you kind of suck the skin off the bones and you spit the bones out, and it's really pretty disgusting, but you have to pretend it's a delicacy there because it really is.
I'm not going to China anytime soon.
Well, there's a potluck on February 2nd, so if anybody wants to make chicken's feet, we know that Gary will be all about it.
Oh, man, I'll jump all over it.
So this week we're diving into Genesis chapter 3. This is the story of Adam and Eve and the fall in the Garden of Eden. So God has made this world that is good. God has made Adam and Eve, and he calls them good, and they're kind of meant to exist in a relationship with him. And then as time goes on, Adam and Eve are tempted to make a choice where they eat from what's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And without getting too complicated, the tree represents a chance for Adam and Eve to make their own moral choices. Up till this point, they've been kind of living in harmony with God, walking in step with him. And the tree represents a chance for them to sort of pick their own direction, to choose what they think is right in their own eyes rather than following God's leading. So we're introduced to the snake, which is kind of the first biblical reference to Satan. And the snake is trying to get them to believe that God is withholding from them, that God is limiting them, and that eating from the tree is going to make their life better. But when they actually do, they are kind of instantly overcome with shame. They realize that they're naked, and they clothe themselves with leaves, which is sort of a way of showing that where once they were open and vulnerable, now they kind of feel like they have to put a barrier between each other. And then when God is looking for them, they try to hide, they deny, they blame, rather than owning up to their sin. And eventually they're kicked out of the garden. And God promises that life is going to be difficult for them. They're going to experience death. And there's also a promise that Satan will one day be overcome, which is the very first kind of biblical reference to the Messiah. So it's a heavy chapter. It's not an easy chapter, but it's one that really kind of forms the cornerstone of our theology as Orthodox Christians and what we understand ourselves to be and how we relate to God. So when we talked about this passage on Sunday, one of the things we touched on is how Adam and Eve's story so often is our story. We make the same sorts of choices where we choose to disobey God. And then when there's consequences of those choices, we often deny them or blame others and have a really hard time kind of owning up to our sinfulness. And I'm curious for you guys, when you think about your own life and your own relationships, Why is it so hard for us? You know, if we have a biblical understanding that all of us are sinful, we all mess up, we're all sort of on equal footing, but when push comes to shove, we don't really like to acknowledge that or admit that to others. Why do you think that is?
It is difficult to talk about sin. It makes us admit that we're not perfect, and we want to put on a good face. We want to put on a good front. And by admitting that we're sinful, we're admitting that, we're not as good as we pretend we are.
There's definitely an appearance thing, and we'll probably get into this too, but that's what I find so interesting about this conversation is, you know, especially in our church, like every week we have confession and we acknowledge our sinfulness. So it's something that supposedly we are practicing and remembering, but on Tuesday or Wednesday of any given week, you know, if my wife challenges me about something or a friend says, hey, you kind of dropped the ball on this, my first impulse so often is to be defensive. And I'm just curious, what do you think is behind that?
Could it be a little bit of shame in there too, to know that you screwed up, to be shameful, but maybe even some fear to be judged, to be scared of what someone else is going to then think?
Yeah. I like that. Can you say more about that? Like, what's that fear, do you think?
Well, like Gary was saying, we try to put on this face that, well, obviously we're not perfect, but we want to try our best and show our best. And when we fall short of that, we sort of feel like we're letting ourselves down, we're letting other people down, we're shameful of screwing up. So maybe the best thing to do is to put up your defensive walls and say, oh, no, it's not me. I'm still good. Yeah. Don't judge me.
When we admit to sin, boy, everybody can look right into our hearts. And it's not always pretty. Yeah. And we just don't like to admit that.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I think that's universally true, but do you think there's anything about either kind of Reformed church culture or even West Michigan where we live? Do you think there's anything in the air that makes that even harder for us?
Wow, we're in a definitely in a church-y culture here in Western Michigan. So I think it comes back to perhaps the same thing. We want to put on a good front. Yes, we're all solid Christians. Don't dig too deep. You might dig and find something that I don't want you to. But and it's all part of that. We're not really that bad, are we? We're probably as good as everybody else. Nobody's better or worse. We're all kind of the same.
Yeah. I don't like that, but I feel like that articulates that really well, that like we want to believe Jesus died for the kind of bad stuff, you know, that's what I needed, but the really bad stuff or the depth of our sin, we're like, well, that's good for, you know, those people over there, but I didn't need that. That's not why Jesus came for me.
I would agree with that. I think there's plenty of things that if we get called out on the little things, we sort of feel defensive, like, really, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's just a little lie, or it was just, you know, stealing a grape from the grocery store. I've never done that.
You heard it here first. No, a friend of mine who's a pastor did, they did a sermon series, and it was something like the acceptable sins for Christians or something. And it was kind of meant to re-emphasize that all sin is equally a problem. But they talked about those things that we all kind of laugh about or don't mind getting away with, you know, so the small things like the gossip and the selfishness with our resources. And, you know, we kind of laugh and say, oh yeah, we're Americans. This is what we do, you know, or yeah, we're all kind of dumb and that's what we do. But that's different than really admitting that, like, I am seriously tempted to, you know, cheat on my spouse or really, really hurt somebody, or this addiction is part of my life. These things that we almost like put in another tier, you know, and it's like, that's the stuff that we're very afraid to bring up at all.
Right.
So are there actually differences in categories of sin? Is gossip and murder in the same category? Does God judge those differently?
We're going to actually do a Ten Commandments series later this year, and we look at the positive aspect or kind of expanding the commands as well as the negative. So, like, do not murder is a perfect example. in the catechism, you know, it says not only does that mean don't physically murdering somebody, but it also means, you know, guarding your speech, promoting life, not just not hurting, but actually like helping others to flourish. And so in a way, like, yes, there's a very different consequence if you physically take a life, but there's so much more to that commandment than just, you know, not shooting somebody. And it ends up kind of leveling the playing field to say that we are, you know, we are all breaking this commandment in one form or another. Mm-hmm. But I think the question, Gary, is really important. And I think it's one that people worry about, that people look at certain things in their past, maybe, or just in their experiences, and they say, it's okay to talk about this and this, but if anybody knew about this, or if anybody knew this had happened, that feels like it's in another tier, or that feels scarier or worse in some way. And I think the best explanation that I've ever heard was my college pastor explained to me that he said, you know, there's a difference between consequence and condemnation. And in Christ, we understand that there is no condemnation, regardless of how deep the sin goes or what it might have been. But different sins have different consequences. If I am driving 5 miles over the speed limit, I might get a small ticket, and that's a consequence. If I'm driving 120 miles an hour and I'm driving on the sidewalk, I'm probably going to get my license taken away. It's a different level of consequence. So it's not that one is necessarily more okay or something, but just that the gravity, there is, like, it's silly to pretend that different sins don't have different gravity or different consequences.
Oh, I think that perspective was very helpful.
Well, you can come back on the podcast anytime. anything you want to add, Ben?
No. Good job, Gary. You passed the test.
So then one of the other things is, how do we as a church kind of help promote this conversation in a better, healthier way? So, you know, we do talk about sin. We do acts of confession on a pretty regular basis. And yet, Gary, you've highlighted that, you know, our default is to be protective of our reputation, to not let people in too far. So how do we as a church kind of help make that happen? How do we make it a safer, better place for us to say, this is exactly what's going on, or this is where I'm at, and have those real conversations about sin that we need to?
I think one thing that was helpful is first of all, yes, in our worship services, we typically do take time for confession and repentance, which allows that grace to flow into our lives. But the thing that happened maybe 3 or 4 or 5 Sundays ago is during our time of confession, we went through a litany. And then after the litany was a time of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of silence where we could all individually reflect on our lives. And I thought that was particularly meaningful and helpful to really turn it inwards. Mm. Perhaps that's something we could incorporate on a more regular basis.
So is there something about saying, like, in order to be able to verbalize it to other people, you have to kind of get more comfortable with being honest with yourself? And maybe the first step for some people is to have honest time of confession just between them and God and say, like, no, what is this really? And I've been downplaying it, or I've been stuffing it or hiding from it. But what do I really think about this? This really is a problem.
I think that's all part of it, absolutely.
What about for you, Ben? What helps you just to be more honest about this stuff that's uncomfortable? And as we've said, it's very easy to dodge.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with Gary. I think those moments of silence are needed. It's often hard to do or find time, especially in the middle of the day. But a lot of times before bed, if I'm restless or I can't sleep, that's kind of when it comes out for me.
Yeah, I think that's good. you need like a space where you're able to actually concentrate and not just, you know, like sometimes I'll try to pray while I'm driving and it's just so quick because I'm obviously hopefully paying attention, you know.
Well, you're driving 120 on the sidewalk. Right.
Yes. Lots to be forgiven for. So I think creating intentional time is important and having that be a time that like you can be present, you know, you're not going to be distracted. I've been really, really challenged lately to like put my phone in a different room, especially in the mornings if I'm trying to have some kind of a devotional, to like physically be removed from it because it's just so distracting and so tempting.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I think, you know, the other thing that I would point out is that we have had these different experiences just with our friends or as a married couple where it feels like if one person will kind of break the dam and, you know, take it to another level and open up about something in their own lives, then a lot of times several people are really quick to follow. So if one person musters up that courage in a small group setting or even just having that conversation with a couple friends, oftentimes what happens is people will agree or you'll hear their own stories that suddenly they feel comfortable enough to share. So I think a challenge for South Granville is for us to say, how can I take that step, you know, to push that conversation into a more vulnerable direction? How can I just be a little more honest, a little more open? Because I know that if I do that, others are likely to follow me and to do the same thing. So in the spirit of that, let's take turns confessing our deepest, darkest sins into the microphone.
Gary, you starting go first.
Van, yeah. well, excuse me a minute. I'm going to get another cup of coffee.
So, AJ, each week we get a great sermon from you, and they're about 20 minutes long, which is great, I think, for everybody. But there might be a few other people out there that thought, well, if he had a little bit of extra time, what kind of knowledge would he give us? Is there something extra from last week's sermon that you'd like to chime in with?
Yeah, so we talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and didn't even touch on the tree of life, which is the other tree in the garden. And it was hard not to go really deep down the rabbit hole because there's a lot of kind of interesting thought about what the trees are and what they represent and why things play out the way that they do. So maybe there's a whole nother sermon there about how God has given Adam and Eve this choice. You know, he puts the tree in the garden and says, don't eat it, but it's there. And they always have that choice. And there's something about the nature of his relationship with us that even though he gives us clear instructions, he always lets us make our own decisions. You know, we're not just kind of mindless drones or something. We have that choice and Adam and Eve make that choice and we all suffer the consequences, but God loves us enough to give us that choice in the first place. So I always think that is interesting. I'll put in a plug for the Bible Project, which is a great resource. And they have a podcast that's almost as good as this one. And they did a whole episode about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you have more questions about that, we actually put that on our Facebook page, but it's very, very good. It's very helpful. It can be kind of philosophical, but it's just a really interesting thing to think about.
Hey, Gary, is there anything else that maybe you were thinking about last week that AJ didn't get a chance to touch on?
Well, there is a question that always has been in the back of my mind. And again, it's not a matter of salvation or not, but the question is, when Satan came to Adam and Eve, why did he come in the form of a serpent? Is there something significant about the snake? Why didn't he appear to them as a cow or a horse or some other animal? So I guess the question is, why a snake?
Do you have something against cows personally?
Absolutely nothing.
No, I love that question. That's a great question. So I'll preface it by saying I don't totally know. My, you know, limited reading and stuff is that there's symbolism related to snakes and serpents, you know, connected to evil or deceit. But what I don't know, and I think what would be interesting is if it's, you know, chicken or the egg. Were the biblical writers in some way drawing on pre-existing imagery and they naturally associated Satan's presence with a snake? was the snake there? And out of that story, we kind of have this cultural association with snakes as being evil. I don't know. I don't know the order there. But it's a good question to think about. And, you know, if you have a kid who likes science like I do, you know, you find out snakes are actually very helpful and very interesting. So they kind of get a bad rap now. And maybe that's part of the curse. I don't know.
Maybe.
But, yeah.
And I would guess, too, that the snake didn't have any say-so, that Satan just came through the snake. So why was the snake punished? Because of something Satan did.
Yeah, and is that statement of curse, is that made to snakes or about snakes in general, or is it specifically meant to be for Satan, which is what I would think?
Right. Yep.
But again, you know, you have this book that's, it's written in, you know, ancient poetry. And while, you know, we affirm Adam and Eve as historical people, there's still a lot of question about what this is, and it's very interesting. Yeah. And I wish I had more of an answer than that.
Oh, that's fine.
I have big books in my office that you can take home if you're really curious.
I can probably Google it.
Yeah.
My two cents?
Yeah.
It'd be very impractical to put a cow in a tree next to some fruit.
That's true. That is true. That's basic science right there.
Unless we had really big trees in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, AJ, we just got a lot of things to think about. What are some things going through this next week that we could challenge ourselves with when it comes to sin and our confessions?
One of the things that you touched on, Ben, was just kind of carving out that time to have some reflection and some honest prayer. And we put a suggestion in the small group guide this week that one thing people could read is Psalm 51, which is David's Psalm of Confession. And I think if you took 10, 15 minutes, two or three times this week to just read through that, to think about where you're connecting with what David is saying, maybe even writing your own prayer of confession. Again, that's where it's going to start. If we're going to be a more open, more vulnerable community, we have to start by getting honest with ourselves. And that can't happen unless you make that time for it.
Sure. That's a great idea. I think that about wraps us up here at the 4130 show. We want to thank Gary Pipping, or Barry Schmipping as
his alter ego,
his alter ego, AKA, for being here. It's a joy to have you here today with us, Gary. And it's been great getting to know you over the last few years and seeing you around church. Gary, could you tell us how your experience with the podcast went today? Is it scary, or could anybody do it?
Oh, listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It was my privilege to be here. What it did do, it did force me to think a little more thoroughly about some of the things that I heard yesterday, and how do I apply it? So, yes, it's a good mental, it's a good spiritual exercise. And again, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It's not scary. You guys are easy. I mean, you guys are easy to work with.
Speaking of sin.
Oh, no.
Gary, you have listened to the podcast. When do you listen to it, and how do you listen to it?
I listen to it basically once it pops up on one of the feeds that I'm looking at, and then I listen to it usually on my cell phone.
That's great. Again, it's available on our website, southgranvillechurch.org/podcast. You can find it there. There's also links on our website to subscribe to Spotify, iTunes. Well, I guess it's Apple Podcasts now.
Yep.
Tune in. You can even ask Alexa, hey, play the 4130 show. It'll pop up. So there's lots of ways to get a hold of us and listen.
Yeah, and we just want to remind you, this is something we do for both the people inside South Granville, and also something that, you know, if you've got friends or family members who are asking these spiritual questions, might be interested in a given week's topic, we encourage you to post it on your social media page, to share it with them. This gives us an opportunity to connect with people who are asking those questions and maybe even looking for a church home as well. So that's it for us. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
got the Ten Commandments, and they're, of course, in different order, but I don't think God ranks them like a YouTube video, top 10 commandments. And number one, you know what I mean?